Today's word.
But not only are we supposed to present our bodies to God for the flesh to be burnt or the fleshly desire to go, he says we must do it daily. A living sacrifice means it's alive, it's done daily, it's ongoing. In other words, you don't go and present your body to Christ or to God on his altar and say, God, I surrender all to Jesus. Then you just feel so good. Oh, today I went to church and I just surrendered all to Jesus. I just surrendered all. Until your girlfriend shows up. Or the boyfriend shows up. And the boy calls and says, hey, babes, oh, babe, or oh, bae these days. Whatever they call you. You know, oh, bae, what's up? The weather is cold today. What do you think? Then all of a sudden, I surrender. The body that is on the altar, boom, jumps from the altar. No, he says, it must be a living and a daily sacrifice. We present our bodies on a daily basis. Otherwise, we're going to be like somebody who decides to go on a weight loss program. You know, there are people who do that. They say, I'm going to lose weight. And maybe they discover some dieting, paleo diet or keto diet or some other diet, and they are eating grass and eating all kinds of things. And then they are very dedicated to it, and everybody sees them and says, oh, wow, your weight loss thing is working. You're eating the grass and you're eating, and you brag about, now I don't eat this and I don't eat that and I don't eat that, and I don't eat that, until you go for the Christmas party. And then, then all of a sudden you say, what kind of punishment am I punishing myself? And as Jesus said, the latter end of that person will be worse than the first. Then you start eating the food, you make up good measure, press down, shaking together, running over. Then all of a sudden you are back to square one, to your old self, maybe even bigger than before. That's why our body's sacrifice is daily. It's not occasional. It's not ceremonial. It's not something you do when you just hear a message and it speaks to you. But it's a daily commitment to God. So every day, your body is on the altar. And the next day, my body is on the altar. Every time you pray in the morning, you say, Lord, I surrender to you today. And the next day, I surrender to you. And the next day, I surrender to you. Each day, you are making a conscious effort to surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you surrender to him, he's going to work on you. He's going to work on your patience. He's going to work on your anger. People are going to annoy you. Have you noticed when you ask God, give me patience? That then everybody goes crazy around you. Everybody gets on your nerves. Because you think if you ask God, God, give me patience. You know, patience as a spirit will come. Now you have patience. No, that's not how it happens. God is going to then burn your anger away. And the only way to burn anger away is to let people annoy you. And as they annoy you, you become conscious that at this point, this is a test that God is working on me for me to overcome my instinct to respond this way or that way. And as you do it daily and daily and daily and daily and daily, you are mastering over your flesh and the desires of your flesh. It's a daily walk with God. I beg you, based on what Christ has done for you, that you also do something about this. Our salvation is not all about what Christ did, but there is an aspect about what we do. We present our bodies to God. Then he says, your bodies to God as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God. That means we present our bodies in holiness. We do not present our bodies in sin to God. When we present our bodies to God, we must desire holiness. We must desire holiness. Fortunately, many of us want to live the Christian life minus holiness. Holiness is not a state of being. Holiness is a pursuit. It's something we work towards, we pursue, we work at it. I want to be holy. I want to be holy. Because you will never get to any state of holiness where you can boldly say, I'm holy now. No, we don't get to a place where you say, I am holy now, but you pursue holiness. You pursue it. You desire it. We are changed from glory to glory, from grace to grace, from one level to the other. God perfects us as we dedicate ourselves to Him. So He says that our bodies must be presented in holiness. In holiness, not in sin. Unfortunately, these days, you know, everybody says, well, it's my own life. I do whatever I want to do with my life. I own my own life. You know, when people say they own their own life, isn't that funny? Because pretty soon, all of us will discover we don't own our own lives. We don't own our lives. So you cannot say it's my own life. It's the life God has given to you. It's the life God has allowed you to have. And He says, present your bodies in holiness. Listen to me, church. It's great to come to church and to have fellowship and be part of the praise and worship and dance and rejoice and have friends in church and all of that. Listen to Pastor Otabo preaching. But that's great, and we must do all of that. But the end of it is that we must be like Christ. And in what way are we like Christ? Are we going to wear His robes? No, we are like Christ because our character mimics His character. That's what holiness is. Holiness is Christ-likeness. We love like Him. We treat people like Him. We deal with life like Him. Then we are holy. So He says, present your bodies holy. Present your bodies holy. Don't pollute your body. Don't pollute your body with alcohol. I know you say, yeah, but the Bible doesn't say we shouldn't drink. The Bible says you shouldn't get drunk. Yeah. You yourself making the argument. You know the truth. You know when you get very defensive, you know you are just trying to talk yourself out of conviction. The Bible didn't say we shouldn't drink. It didn't just say drink a little, but don't get drunk. Do you have a pipette to do your titration between drink and don't get drunk? In between drink and don't get drunk, there is a fluid moment. And since alcohol is fluid, you can't tell when you've crossed to drunk. So although the Bible does not say don't drink, commonsensically, you know that if I start this process, I don't even know when to stop. Because you can't be drunk and say, I'm holy for Jesus. You can't do that. You cannot be a glutton. You are eating the food. You don't know when to stop. I'm doing it for Jesus. It's not for Jesus. For yourself. You cannot be having sex with somebody you are not married to and just say, yeah, it doesn't matter. God knows my heart. He knows your body too. He knows your heart. He knows your body. And He says, present your body holy as a living sacrifice. If the person is somebody you intend to marry, marry them and stop sleeping with them. If they are not people you want to marry, you are experimenting, stop the experiment. You are already married, you need a slap to get out of this one. It has to be holy. The body has to be holy. Everybody say holiness. Holiness. All right. And it says that when we present our bodies holy in holiness to God, we must do it in a way that pleases God. Do it in a way that pleases God. That means the reason why we want to live holy is not just to score marks. We're not seeking to live holy so that everybody will say, oh, that's a holy man of God. But we want to please God. Because God's marking scheme and our marking schemes are not the same. You know, we can look at people and call them holy. For example, if you see a sister wearing maxi skirt, their clothes are from head to toe to the ankle. Big cotton, khaki to the, and the neck is up to the throat. The sleeve is up, then the whole body is covered. So that's a holy sister. That's our marking scheme. Oh, that's holy. Oh, she dresses modestly. Oh, look at her. No finger, no red, no pink, October pink nails, nothing. I mean, this sister is holy. She's just living for Jesus. That's our marking scheme. But God looks at that same person and says, woo! Within the maxi skirt is stuff. In the mind, in the heart, it's so impure. But outwardly, she may seem to be holy, but inwardly polluted. So he says, our holiness must be in a way that pleases God. We're not doing it to score marks with people. We are doing it to get God's approval. In a way that pleases God. So don't be a hypocrite and don't try to just put on a show about outward holiness, because God is the one marking us. And not only that, we must do it in a way that points people to God. So when people see us, they see God. The greatest witness of the Christian is not what they say with their mouth, it's what they do with their lives. You know, sometimes parents get so fixated in bringing up their children in a godly way. And it's good to do that. But sometimes it's all rigid. Read the Bible at this time, get up at 4:30. You have to recite the Bible, do the remember, pray. You have to pray 3 hours. And the children go through the motions. But they look at the parent's life. There's no generosity. There's no love. There's no kindness. You don't give them time. Even the parents are always quarreling, and then you're reading the Bible, cramming it. That doesn't point anybody to God. Eventually, your children grow, and they turn away from God. Because character is more imitated than words. Behavior is more imitated than words. People watch us. And it will be great for people in your office to watch you and say, wow. That's a Christian. I want to be a Christian because of you. I want to serve Jesus because of you. We present our bodies to God in holiness in a way that points people to God. And Paul concludes everything he says in chapter 12, verse 1. He says, because this is your reasonable service. I beseech you, therefore, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. That word reasonable there from the Greek word logikos, from which we get logic. Paul is saying it's the most sensible thing to do, it's the most logical thing to do. Living a holy life is logical. It makes sense. Why? Because Jesus lived for you, therefore you live for him. That's the logic. We offer our bodies to him because he offered himself to us. He says it's your reasonable, it's the least you can do. It's the most logical thing you can do. It makes sense to live holy. It makes sense to live for Jesus. It makes sense to live for God. It makes sense to live in holiness. Because he lived in holiness for us. He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we through him, his righteousness, might become the righteousness of God. He gave himself for us. It is just logical that we give ourselves for him and to him. This morning, if you don't know Jesus Christ truly as your Lord and Savior, you need to settle that account with God. You need to have Jesus in your heart. He died for you, but you must accept that he died for you. You must say, Lord Jesus, you died for me, and I accept what you did for me. That is how we gain salvation. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here this morning, you say, Pastor, I want to give my life to Jesus. Not just my body, I want to give my heart to Jesus. I want to be a true Christian. I really want to serve God. I want to give myself to Jesus. I want to be born again. I want to be saved. I want to be sure that I will spend eternity with God. If that's your heart desire and you are here with every head bowed, if you really desire to start a journey with Jesus Christ, lift up your right hand wherever you are. Lift up your hand, lift up your hand. Don't feel shy. If you really want to start this journey with Jesus, God bless you, God bless you. Just lift up your hand. Maybe you've prayed to receive Jesus in your heart before, but you just feel your Christian life is not going too well. You need to really rededicate your life to Jesus. If that's your decision too, you can lift up your hand. You want to start all over again, all over again. Now, I want all of us to put our hand on our heart as we pray this prayer together. Say with me, Heavenly Father, I thank you that Jesus died for me and rose again from the dead to give me eternal life. Today, I receive him as my Lord and my Savior. I declare with my mouth that Jesus is Lord, and I determine to live for him, to serve him all the days of my life. I thank you, Father, for the gift of salvation, for the gift of eternal life, which I now receive by faith. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you. The Christian life is a journey. It's a journey we start, but it doesn't end. It doesn't end. We continue on that journey with the Lord Jesus Christ. And we want to help you on that journey to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I trust that you would live a life that truly pleases God and brings honor to his name. Amen.